Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Evening, this is the main evening news at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines: new COVID close contact rules will take effect from Friday. Close contacts who are boosted and do not have symptoms will not have to restrict their movements. A Donegal man's been sentenced to 10 years in prison today after being found guilty of repeatedly sexually assaulting a teenage boy between 1985 and 2000. Three men were taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries after a serious assault in Sion Mills earlier today. And HICWA has published inspection reports into five centres for people with disabilities in County Donegal. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly, coming up for you within the next half hour. To our top story this evening, and new COVID close contact rules will take effect from Friday in the Republic of Ireland. Close contacts who are boosted and do not have any COVID symptoms won't have to restrict their movements and will be asked to take antigen tests daily instead. A positive antigen test now will not require a PCR to confirm the result for people aged under 40. Also, anyone who tests positive will have to isolate for 7 days, regardless of their vaccine status. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the moves are untested, but will allow many people to return to work.
We have to remain vigilant. We have to keep on top of this virus. But the decision in close contacts represents a balance in terms of the pressures on supply chains in particular, and on the health service and other essential services, but also the progress we're making in relation to vaccination.
2,922 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the north in the last 24 hours. There have also been two additional COVID-related deaths announced there today. 439 patients are now being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 29 of those now in intensive care. A Donegal man's been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of repeatedly sexually assaulting a teenage boy between 1985 and 2000. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
Liam Carr, a 59-year-old man from Falkara, was found guilty of 31 different counts of sexual assault after a Central Criminal Court hearing last year. Today, Carr was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment for the numerous assaults on a teenage boy, which occurred at different locations across County Donegal between September 1995 and September 2000. Carr, a retired firefighter, said he intends to appeal his conviction and he did not accept today's verdict. In a victim impact statement, the boy, now a 39-year-old man, said his childhood had been snatched from him as a result of the abuse, which started when he was 13 years old. Judge Mr. Justice David Keane said that Carr's offences were a serious breach of trust and that they caused considerable harm to the teenager.
Three men were taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries after what was described as a serious assault in Sion Mills earlier today. One man aged in his 30s and another man aged in his 20s were arrested in relation to the incident. Local councillor Stephen Edwards says the incident has caused great shock within the community in Sion Mills.
This morning I was made aware of a serious incident in Sion Mills, which required a massive response from emergency responders, including the PSA and the ambulance service. And this has rightly caused great shock and upset throughout the local community there in Sion Mills, and rightly so. Sion Mills is a quaint, quiet village, and events like such as this morning have been very few and far between, and it has really shaken the local community and local residents. But I do think that this is a one-off sort of incident. I know that the PSNA have been doing a lot of good work locally in CMOs, and there has been a lot of anti-behaviour. Most of that is being addressed by the local community police team, and I and the community representatives in CMOs have been working with them. We've made good progress recently, but I don't think that today's incident in Samo should detract from that work. I think that there is good work ongoing. As I say, I do think this is a one-off or a very rare incident to happen for the village.
HICWA has published inspection reports into five designated centres for people with disabilities in Donegal. Four of the centres, Dunwiley and Clohan, Edencrest, Riverside and Clohan Flats, Railway View and Finnside, as well as Drennan, are all part of Ard Grinya Court. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Three of the five centres, all of which are part of the Ardgrania complex, have been subject to re-inspections after non-compliances had been recorded. Improvements were noted in each, but there were non-compliances in all three. The report into the 12-resident Eden Crest, Riverside and Clohan Flat complex recorded non-compliances in staffing, governance and management, risk management procedures and positive behavioural support. The 7-resident Railway View and Finnside Centre had non-compliances in staffing, governance and management, risk management procedures and fire protection, while the 8-resident Dunwiley and Clohan Centre had non-compliances in governance and management and protection. No non-compliances were noted at the Dreenan site. The 8-resident Ballyduff Park site, meanwhile, had non-compliances in notifications and risk management procedures. In a statement, the HSE says it has submitted detailed compliance plans to HICWA to address these issues, and the improvement actions have been accepted by HICWA.
You can read more about those HICWA reports on our website now. That's highlandradio.com. There were 34 patients awaiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital today, according to the INMO's Trolley Watch. There were 4 patients waiting on trolleys in the hospital's emergency department, a reduction of 1 compared to yesterday, with 30 patients waiting for a bed on wards elsewhere in the hospital. Sligo University also had 34 patients waiting on a bed there, with 17 in its emergency department. The combined Northwest total of patients waiting on trolleys was 68, a drop of 6 compared to Tuesday. Momentum is building for a student-led campaign calling for a hybrid Leaving Cert to go ahead again this year. It comes as the State Examination Commission said it would be impossible to give students the option of an accredited grade, as many have not sat the Junior Cert. Mairead Cleary reports.
The hashtag HybridLC 2022 is gaining traction online as sixth years make their views known. Many want the option to accept an accredited grade in their Leaving Cert instead of sitting the exams in their traditional form. Currently, the department is running 2 sets of exams this summer to cater for anyone who can't attend the Leaving Cert in June. There'll also be a wider choice of question options on the papers. 18-year-old Isabel Sutton from Dublin says that's not a viable option.
It's almost impossible really to be putting in the regular amount of work that past students would before COVID.
The State Examination Commission says it's impossible for teachers to provide an accurate predicted grade this year, as many students haven't completed the Junior Cert. Labour's education spokesperson Aon O'Riordan disagrees.
Quite a number of the subjects that are examined at Leaving Cert level aren't examined at Junior Cert level. So I think with a bit of goodwill and imagination, we can find a way.
6th-year Zoe Morris from Roscommon believes it's unfair for students to face their final exams without having done a Junior Cert.
It's ridiculous to try and get us to sit the actual Leaving Cert when there's students that haven't done their Junior Cert. They have no experience what it's like in a state exam.
Despite calls from their students, teaching unions are firmly against a hybrid Leaving Cert in 2022.
Civil proceedings against Britain's Prince Andrew have been allowed to continue after a US judge rejected his attempts to have a civil sex case against him thrown out. Virginia Guffrey alleges Prince Andrew sexually abused her when she was 17. He denies that and has not been criminally charged despite the civil case. Sky's Joe Pike says the royal's lawyers had hoped a 2009 settlement between the accuser and late paedophile Jeffrey Epstein would help him.
In the text of the settlement, she agreed to not pursue other people in civil proceedings connected to Mr. Epstein. So the debate within court that day was all about whether Prince Andrew is covered.
Brexit is one of the reasons why the cost of a used car in Ireland is 56% higher than it was before the pandemic. Some second-hand models are now being advertised at higher prices than the newer versions. The latest Dundee Car Price Index says supply issues linked to Brexit are a major factor. The report's author is economist Dr. Tom Gillespie. On today's 9 till noon show, he told Greg Hughes there's increased demand for cars, but a shortage of new vehicles because vital semiconductors, which are mainly made in China, are in short supply. However, he says there's another dimension to the problem here.
That's a global story that's happening in most markets, but in Ireland it's been compounded by Brexit. So the VAT on imported used cars from the UK is really depleting the number of cars we're bringing in from the UK. That's down about 56% since 2019, which is kind of the last normal year in the used car market. So it's kind of this double supply shock in Ireland and also a demand increase, which is leading to this unprecedented price inflation.
The Children's Minister says the Irish state has failed adopted people for decades. It comes as they will finally get the legal right to their birth certificates. With more, here's Paul O'Donoghue.
after decades of campaigning, adopted people in Ireland will finally get full access to their birth certificates. Previous governments repeatedly said this couldn't be done because of the privacy rights of the birth mother. But a new bill published today has finally changed that. Children's Minister is Roderick O'Gorman.
This was a fight they never should have had to engage in the first place. Because as I said, the state for years repeatedly failed to vindicate the most fundamental rights of adopted people, their right to know their origins.
Co-founder of the Adoption Rights Alliance, Susan Lowen, says the move is a step in the right direction, but is long overdue.
England and Wales, since the early 70s, adopted people there have all enjoyed rights to their own birth certificates since those dates. The very least we can do is to allow all Irish citizens know their full identities.
The government will also set up a new tracing service to help adopted people contact their family. The bill is expected to pass through the Dáil later this year.
The Cair Lough of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District says the lifebuoys on the Port Bridge in Letterkenny should be moved to better locations. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says they are currently located in an area that is difficult to access, and people would have to climb over walls and other obstacles to reach the buoys in case of an emergency. Councillor Kavanagh told this week's meeting of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District that with roadworks taking place in the area, now would be a good time to do this work.
At the moment, where they're located, it means climbing over walls, climbing over ditches to find them, and they're pretty much inaccessible, and unless you knew the area very, very well and knew exactly where they were located, it would be very, very difficult, I think, to find them in an emergency situation. So that's what prompted the motion, and I'd like to thank the member of the public that raised the issue with me. So I'm just asking the council look at relocating them to areas where they're more visible and more accessible and more easily got if, in fact, something does happen and they are needed quickly. I'd also think it's an opportunity with the new roadworks that are going on to maybe, you know, build that into it and look at better locations for them. And I think a third aspect is maybe that you get chipped lifebuoys now that are more easily located if one goes missing and so on. And Donegal County Council are part of a pilot project for that, and maybe it'd be an ideal time to see if we can do that as well and replace the lifebuoys with ones that are chipped to make them easily located if they get lost.
The time is now 12 minutes past 5. We'll take a short break. Sport is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time's 5:15. Time to go over to Oisín Kelly with the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We'll start with cross-channel football. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp insists he's relaxed about Mo Salah's contract situation. Their star forward says he's not asking for crazy stuff in negotiations with a Premier League club during a recent interview. Klopp's confident there'll be a positive outcome in the end.
I know that Mo wants to stay. We want Mo to stay. That's the point where we are. So, and that these things take time, I cannot change. Sorry. But it's. I think it's all in a good place. Nothing else to say.
Chelsea take a 2-0 lead with them to North London for tonight's second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. They play Tottenham at 8:15. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel rejects the suggestion they already have 1 foot in the final.
Why to think about if we have half a foot or 1 foot, or why to lose energy in thinking about this? We play another tough match in a tough stadium against a very good team and a top coach. So we need to be prepared.
West Ham can return to fourth in the Premier League table tonight. David Moyes' side entertain bottom club Norwich. That one also starts at 8:15. Well, a Group F game at the African Cup of Nations has ended in farcical style. Mali and Tunisia had to resume half an hour after the original end of the game as the match referee twice blew his final whistle early. Post-match press conferences were interrupted to inform both sides that the game was to resume. But Mali's players and the match officials returned to the field without Tunisia. Mali won the game by 0-0, but it's unclear if that result will stand. On the Gaelic Games front, the LYT will face University of Limerick in round two of the Sigerson Cup next Tuesday. The tie has been provisionally fixed for the NUI Connacht GAA Air Dome in Mayo. The venue, which is situated between Knock and Ballyhonnis, has already successfully hosted FBD league games in recent weeks. Last night, the Letterkenny College came from 4 points down in the closing minutes to win by 2 points, 113-111, against Carlow IT. LYT manager is Maxie Kern.
We've a lot of good players there with a lot of big game experience, and you know that was the disappointing part for half an hour. You know, we were nowhere to be seen, but thankfully, you know, they pushed on towards the end and say got over the line. This is our first competitive game this year. You know, the way the ball bounced for us, so it's great to get a victory. You know, it's a long way down the road for us, a 3 hour spin, and you know these boys are playing a lot of football. There's a lot of county under 20s and senior panelists in that squad, and you know it's a busy time for them, and you know they came here and gave it everything tonight, and we're very proud of them for doing that.
Brian Fenton returns to the Dublin team for tonight's O'Byrne Cup clash with Louth. The two-time Footballer of the Year is named to start at midfield. Elsewhere, Offaly take on Longford while Laois host Meath. All of those games throw in at 7:30, with the meeting of Wicklow and Wexford underway at 8:00. In Munster, Sean O'Shea will captain Kerry for their McGrath Cup clash with Tipperary. That game starts at 7:00. Well, Tyrone's first night back in action is one they'll want to forget. The All-Ireland champions lost by 15 points to Cavan in the Dr. McKenna Cup last night and will need a massive win over Armagh on Sunday if they are to progress to the semi-final stage. Joint Tyrone manager Fergal Logan feels the result means they might not get that extra game before the league.
Well, hopefully not, Francie, hopefully not. But, you know, you just don't like to take a football field and surrender the position like we did tonight. But, listen, yeah, we're just back home out of the States, and you know, it'll hopefully bring everybody around in terms of getting ready for 2022. And Cavan deserve full credit for the way they took us on tonight and gave us a bit of a lesson.
In rugby, Ulster have confirmed that Jarrod Payne will leave the coaching staff at the end of the season. The former Ireland fullback is to pursue coaching opportunities overseas. Payne was named Ulster's defence coach immediately. After being forced to retire from playing in 2018. Meanwhile, John Cooney will miss Ulster's Heineken Champions Cup trip to Northampton due to a calf injury, but Robert Bellacoon and Bradley Roberts return for the trip to Franklin's Garden. Finally, in snooker, Mark Allen is a frame away from a first-round exit at the Masters. The Antrim man trails Judd Trump by 5-4 at Alexandra Palace. This evening, Kevin Wilson will face Stuart Bingham. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now. The Donegal TD has called for an urgent review into the disabled drivers and passenger scheme, after all members on the board resigned yesterday. It's understood the board members, who take decisions on applications to the disabled drivers and passenger scheme, withdrew after a number of concerns were raised regarding the eligibility threshold to qualify for it, with only 5% of all appeals being successful. Those wishing to appeal also must travel to Dunleary in Dublin for a hearing, regardless of their location. Deputy Thomas Pringle says the scheme is not fit for purpose.
It's come to a head in the last day when news has come out that the disabled drivers committee has actually resigned en masse with the disillusionment with the government, lack of progress on actually reforming the scheme. So basically the scheme isn't fit for purpose, I believe. The governing legislation that actually established it was put in, I think, in 1970 or 71. And it's the language that the legislation uses is completely archaic, which means that if it's taken literally, that basically no disabled driver or very few would actually qualify for support under the scheme, and that's ultimately the problem. And the government needs to grasp the mettle on it and actually change the scheme to make it suitable to people, and so it makes having access to transport more urgent for people living in rural areas. And the bizarre part of this scheme is that actually, in order to appeal the refusal of a disabled driver's allowance, the disabled person has to attend in person to Dunleary to actually have an appeal, which is just absolutely crazy, and particularly in light of the COVID restrictions, but also in normal times, for a disabled person to have to head down to Dunleary to have their appeal heard just doesn't make sense. And whatever new scheme is brought in has to have rural features where people can have timely appeals in their own areas. I normally recommend to people, if they are refused, to make a new application, not to go for an appeal because of the difficulties for them in travelling, because they basically just can't get their appeal heard because they can't travel down. So amend the application and try and make it work in that way. I think the minister has to make the scheme operate properly now and have to do it as a matter of urgency. It shouldn't have come to the stage that the entire board had to resign to actually force it at hand to make some decisions.
And finally, Donegal councillor is welcoming changes to the tenant purchase scheme, which he says will allow older people to purchase their council homes. At present, people whose only income is the state pension cannot purchase their council homes because they are not in receipt of regular income other than their social welfare payments, which are below the eligibility thresholds. However, Councillor Michael Naughton says changes are now being made to those thresholds, which he believes will address the issue.
It's a very good move, and it's something that basically I myself as a councillor and our Fianna Fáil party have been lobbying for years, and that basically the ceiling scale will be dropped to about 12,500. At the moment, it's 15,000, I mean. And there's a lot of pensioners living in their homes all their lives that has basically to access some cash now, and they would like to basically secure their own home, basically, because they have been working all their life and they have the financial capacity there now to buy their houses out. And I think, basically, because the ceiling level is lowered, this would bring an awful lot more people into the niche, and I think it's a very good news story for people living in their council houses for years.
There are those who will say that at this point, perhaps now more than ever, as a result of the pressures that Mike is going to bring, the priority should be increasing the council's housing stock rather than getting rid of it.
Well, basically, you know, these people have lived in these houses all their lives. I mean, definitely, I mean, you know, they're securing these homes for members of their families, and basically, you know, these houses will be in the county. They will be going to members of their family, and I think basically, you know, it's very important that basically, after them working all their lives and working and paying for these houses all their life, they have the opportunity to buy them out. And I think basically, you know, it's very important that basically, you know, it was there for other people that could have buy out their houses all along, but the ceiling scale for pensioners was too high. Because your contributed pension basically was only coming in at less than about 12,000 a year, and the ceiling was 15,000. So basically, there was a shortfall there of 3,000. So basically, there was an unfair playing field for pensioners that was living in their houses for years, and I think basically this has resolved it.
And now the weather. Tonight will be dry with clear spells with the odd patch of drizzle. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees with some frost and fog forming. To this evening's main headlines once again. New COVID close contact rules will take effect from Friday. Close contacts who are boosted and do not have symptoms won't have to restrict their movements and will be asked to take antigen tests daily instead. A positive antigen test now will also not require a PCR to confirm the result for people aged under 40. Donegal man's been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of repeatedly sexually assaulting a teenage boy between 1995 and 2000. Three men were taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries after what was described as a serious assault in Sion Mills earlier today. One man aged in his 30s and another aged in his 20s were arrested in relation to the incident. And finally, HICWA has published several inspection reports into five designated centres for people with disabilities in Donegal, all of them part of the Ard Grainne Court complex. That's all from the news desk for now. We'll have the latest headlines again for you coming up at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, January the 12th. The death has taken place of Patrick P.D. Boyce, Gort McCall, Milford. His remains are reposing at his home. The house is private to family, neighbours and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass on Friday at 11 a.m. in St. Bridget's Church, Golan, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. The death has taken place of Rose Boyle, Ní Ward, Naran Portnew, and formerly of Lower Mina Vale, Glentees. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 12:30 p.m. to St. Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 1 p.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family, neighbours and friends are welcome. The sudden death has taken place in England of Martin Joseph Sweeney, formerly of Gull and Lower, Ballybuffet. His remains are reposing at Terence McClintock's funeral premises, Ballybow Convoy. Removal from there this evening at 6:30 p.m. to arrive at Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler for reception prayers at 7 p.m. and to repose overnight. Funeral Mass there tomorrow Thursday at 11 a.m. followed by burial in the family plot in Drumbo Cemetery. The family home is private, please.
The death has taken place of Johnny Feely of Dromina, Loch Esk, Donegal Town and San Francisco. John's remains will repose at Riverview House, Tyrconnell Street, Donegal Town, today at 5pm and tomorrow from 3pm. His remains will leave Riverview House on Friday at 10:30am for funeral mass at 11am in St Mary's Killymard, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is private to family and friends, please. The death has occurred of Michael Kearney, Moress, Inch Island, and formerly of Downpatrick, County Down. His remains are reposing at his residence. Removal on Friday morning at 10:15am to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch Island, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The wake is strictly private to family only. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the oncology unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. The death has taken place at his home of Desi McFadden, Glassa, and formerly of Mean Derry Gampf, Guidoor. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Rosary on Wednesday and Thursday night at 8pm on Parashia Guidoor Facebook page. House strictly private to family only. Funeral Mass in Shacpobble Columkill, Knockfalla, on Friday at 11am, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Mary Sweeney, Tommy, Key Road, Dunlow. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence from 3pm today, with Rosary Nightly at 8pm. Funeral Mass on Friday at 12 noon in St Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. House private to family and friends only, please. The death has occurred of Frances Hans, Clay Clonmanning. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday at 10:30am, going to St Mary's Church Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 11am, with interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family, friends and neighbours are welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Neil Neelish, Mean Benone, Creasla. Viewing in the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, this evening from 4pm, followed by removal at 5pm, going to St Michael's Church, Creasla, to arrive at 6 o'clock, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11am, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Lake House Nursing Home, Port Nablat Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director, Creasla. The death has occurred of Seamus Lafferty, Barley Hill, Railway Road, Stranorler. The family home is strictly private to the immediate family only, please. Seamus's remains will leave the family home tomorrow at 12:30pm via Ardmacool and Main Street, Stranorler, to arrive at Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, for Mass of the Resurrection at 1pm. Burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery, Stranorler. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if so desired to the Oncology Department, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Martin McGowan at McGowan's Funeral Home, or any family member. The death has occurred of Eamon Glacken, Lid of King's Heath, Birmingham, and formerly of 8 McCrae Park, Drumquin. Funeral from Lynch's Funeral Home, 50 Castlefin Road, Castle Derg, tomorrow afternoon at 1:20pm, for Requiem Mass at 2pm, in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin. Interment afterwards in Langfield Old Cemetery. The death has taken place of Michael Winters, 7 Camas Park, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:20am for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 11am. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. The death has occurred of Nan Hone, Kilty Fergal, Clohan. Nan's remains are reposing at her late residence, with removal to the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Secure, Glenfinn, for reception prayers at 7pm tomorrow evening. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Requiem mass on Friday at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Kilvora Cemetery. The death has occurred of Tony McBride, Anagri West. His remains will repose at McGlynn's funeral home this evening from 5 p.m, with removal at 6 p.m. going to the Star of the Sea Church, Anagri, where he will repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.